Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the last two Sundays in the Advent season, the lectionary introduces us to the preacher of Advent, John the Baptist. In today's gospel, Jesus calls John a prophet and more than a prophet. A prophet because John prepared the people of Israel for the coming of Christ, preparing the way of the Lord by turning men's hearts to the things of God, to the readiness of repentance and faith. A prophet because he foretold the coming of the Christ, but more than a prophet because John himself was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets as the one who would prepare the way for the Lord. And more than a prophet, because when Jesus was ready to begin his ministry, John proclaimed, not as a prophet, but as a herald, the Christ is here. Next week, we'll look deeper into John's ministry and preaching. But this week, the gospel turns our attention to the final days of John's life after his preaching and baptizing were done. It shows us a minister of God who has done exactly what he was sent to do, who willingly set aside the comforts of life and of society because he was thoroughly devoted to the ministry and mission that God had given him. But now he sits in prison for doing what God sent him to do, for preaching the truth to King Herod. He's facing the end of his life, and it seems that he's confused because he spent his short ministry zealously pointing people to Jesus as the Christ, as the one who was to come. And yet, to this day, to that day when John sat in prison, Jesus had not done a single thing that John is recorded as having said Jesus would do. But again, he doesn't exactly wallow in self-pity and there in prison. He does the right thing. Instead of trying to figure it all out on his own, or worse, instead of giving up on Jesus, he sends two of his own disciples to go to where Jesus is for his help in clarifying the situation. Through his disciples, John asked Jesus the question that was pressing on his heart and on his mind: are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? Since the days of Adam and Eve, God had been announcing through the Old Testament prophets the coming of a Messiah, of a one-of-a-kind Savior, a man who would also be God, a Christ who would do a whole list of things. He would teach the people of Israel with divine authority. He would speak to them in parables. He would do miraculous healings and other signs and wonders. He would preach good news to the poor. He would institute a new testament or a new covenant. He would be rejected by the people. He would suffer and be put to death as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. He would be raised from the dead. He would send his Holy Spirit into the world and pour him out on his church. He would raise all the dead. He would create new heavens and a new earth. He would get rid of pain and suffering and sickness and death. He would gather his people Israel together to dwell in safety, and he would destroy the wicked forever. All of those things were prophesied about the coming Christ in the Old Testament, and many of those things were also preached by John the Baptist as things that Jesus the Christ would do. But how much of it had Jesus actually done since he was baptized by John in the Jordan River? Not very much. And from Jesus' words and actions, it didn't seem like most of it was even part of the plan. Jesus was, at that time, popular among the people. He was intentionally not running a political campaign, though, was not overthrowing the wicked, was not releasing his people like John from prison or from suffering at the hands of sinners. John had said about Jesus, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." But where was the fire? Where was the winnowing fan? Where was the gathering of his people into his barn? Where was the burning up of the chaff? John expected all of those things from Jesus, not only because he had proclaimed it, but because the Holy Scriptures had prophesied it. How could Jesus be the one who was to come if he wasn't doing all that he was supposed to do? Well, here was Jesus' simple answer to John's disciples to take back to John. "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to them." See, Jesus was doing some of the things that the Christ was supposed to do, and they weren't little things. The miracles Jesus was performing were unprecedented, and he performed them easily, usually with nothing more than a word. He performed them with grace and mercy, the grace and mercy that were characteristic of God himself. Even his preaching to the poor was in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy about the Anointed One, the Christ. Isaiah wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." But what were the good tidings or the gospel that Jesus was preaching to the poor? That they're going to become less poor? Well, no, Jesus never raised anyone out of poverty. The good news was for the rich and the poor who were poor in spirit, for those who admitted that they were poor, miserable sinners, as all of you confessed this morning, that they had nothing to offer to God. To them, Jesus gave the handout of the free forgiveness of sins to all who believed in him. And what about this proclaiming liberty to the captives and opening the prison to those who are bound, even as John was sitting in prison as a captive? Ah, but that's the thing. Many of the things that the coming one was supposed to do were to be done in a figurative way, in a spiritual way, at least for now. Those who had turned away from God had become captives of sin, slaves of sin, as Jesus puts it elsewhere. But the Son of God had come to set them free through the forgiveness of their sins that he would win for them on the cross. Because having your sins forgiven by God is like having the prison doors thrown wide open, no longer held captive by guilt or condemnation, no longer destined to rot in hell, but made a child of God. So, some of the things the Christ was supposed to do, he was doing either literally or figuratively or both. He was literally giving sight to people who were literally blind and healing deaf ears, cleansing lepers and giving life to the dead. But he was also doing those same things for people on the inside. spiritually, removing spiritual blindness and deafness from people who were either seeing or unseeing. He was preaching good news to the spiritually poor and freeing the spiritual captives from slavery to the devil. These are the things Jesus wanted John's disciples to see and witness and to go back and tell their teacher about. And then Jesus spoke a word of encouragement and warning. Blessed is he who does not stumble over me. In other words, Jesus says, I know I haven't done everything you expected, all that I'm supposed to do, but I will, when the time is right and in the way I intend. So don't allow your expectations to dictate what I must do or when I must do it or how I must do it. The scriptures will be fulfilled wonderfully and perfectly. Don't stumble over me just because you don't understand everything yet. You will be blessed if you don't stumble, if you have patience, because all will be fulfilled in due time. Focus on the things I am doing. And more of what Jesus the Christ was prophesied to do has been done since that day when John's disciples came to Jesus. John proclaimed Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus hadn't yet been offered up as the sacrificial lamb on the altar when John sent his disciples, but within a year or two, he would be at just the right time and in just the right way. He hadn't yet been raised from the dead, but he would be. He hadn't yet instituted the New Testament in his blood, but that was coming too. He hadn't yet poured out his Holy Spirit on his church, but he would. He hadn't yet gathered the Gentiles into his kingdom, but he was about to begin that lengthy task. As for the rest, the other things we are to expect in the coming one, in the Christ, for those things we still wait. For the judgment of the wicked, for the justice, for the righteous, for the removal of pain and suffering and sickness and death, for the creations of new heavens and a new earth. Jesus will do those things too, just as he has already done all the other things that we rightly expected of him. He'll do those things at his second advent when he comes again at the end of the age. What do you expect from Jesus? Be careful not to lump together all the good things he has promised to do for those who love him as if he had to give it all at once and make everything better all at once and do everything he has promised to do all at once, or else he won't do it at all. He has done enough, hasn't he, to prove that he is the Christ and that he is faithful and trustworthy and good. Blessed are those who are willing to wait. Blessed are those who patiently wait for Jesus to do the rest of the things Scripture says he will do. Blessed are those who see all that he has already done and who take comfort in his promise to come again as he said he would, to accomplish all that remains to be done for the good of his church, for the good of each and every baptized believer. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.